Well, it actually feels finally like spring here in Boston, so all these bare trees here will soon look normal again. Perfect backdrop for walking in the city, this city, or the city, the single square mile at the heart of Greater London, their financial district. It's London's historic heart. It's also very crowded. And so it's kind of incongruous that this was one of the earliest cities in the world to set aside urban green spaces for public use. Here's our Livable Planet reporter, Carolyn Beeler.
Every day, nearly 500,000 workers stream into the white stone banks and office buildings in the city, as it's called here. But it's not all business in Europe's financial capital. Hidden behind courtyard walls and through narrow passageways are roughly 200 tiny islands of green. On a breezy early spring afternoon, the guy in charge of them is giving me a tour.
I'm Colin Buttery. I'm Director of Open Spaces in the City of London.
Buttery's pretty new to the job, but he's taking care of some very old spaces. Some are relics of the city's twisted medieval grid. Others were established during Victorian times. As the city was growing more crowded and smog-choked, civic leaders set aside outdoor space for workers.
In about 1878, an Act of Parliament basically gave the public right of access to open spaces within the city.
At the time, those spaces were mostly churchyards. The city opened them up so workers could eat lunch there or stroll through on the way home from the office.
I think the Victorians, they recognized the health and well-being benefits of open space. Sitting quietly, reading a newspaper or reading a book in a nice environment.
Buttery and I are talking in the park in front of St. Paul's Cathedral. Office workers in tailored suits stroll by, and a student sits on a bench sketching the 300-year-old cupola.
I like to think of all the people who have sat in the churchyard eating their sandwiches, the numerous generations enjoying exactly the same view that we're enjoying today.
The next large batch of open spaces emerged from the ashes of World War II. There's an example just north of St. Paul's.
This little space is called Christchurch Greyfriars, and as you can see, is basically a garden in the footprint of a church that was bomb damaged. So only the tower is left.
But inside that tower and some partial walls, there are trellises with climbing vines that stand where the church columns used to be. A visitor sits on a bench placed for quiet reflection.
It is quite formally laid out, partly because it is still consecrated ground.
Back out on the street, we head up a set of stairs to an echoey, elevated walkway that lifts pedestrians above the traffic below. Some kids in school uniforms walk by in a noisy pack. Just like the old church that's now a park, this walkway and many of the buildings it connects were built after this part of the city was flattened in the German Blitz.
I think the planners straight after the war were very imaginative in trying to make the best of what had been left after the World War II bomb damage.
Buttery points out another example, a huge pool with fountains that's at the center of a 60s-era apartment complex.
This helps to be a bit like a air conditioning system for the city.
Today, Buttery manages these spaces with 21st-century environmental concerns in mind. Back at street level, he shows me several new planters with shrubs and evergreens that are good at filtering out polluted city air. He's also planting species that will thrive as the climate changes.
I want to ensure that I can pass on to future generations something that's in as good or better condition, not let small things like climate change get in our way.
He's kidding about climate change being a small thing, but he says actually lots of native species here will fare pretty well as the weather gets hotter and weirder. In this ancient city, it turns out even some of the plants are good at adapting. For The World, Carolyn Beeler, The City of London.